Great news from Rocket Mortgage. You could unlock more cash than you realize from your home's equity with a cash-out refinance today. In fact, in the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. That means you could unlock thousands of dollars. And with Rocket Mortgage, you could unlock all that cash in less than 3 weeks. But you've got to act right now before rates go up, because nobody knows how long these low rates will last. Put your hard-earned money to work. Make your life better. Build a home office, remodel your kitchen, or simply save that cash for a rainy day. Today's rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.25%, 3.48% APR, so you can lock in a great low monthly payment. When you're looking to unlock the cash in your home, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. That's 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates current as of 12/12/21. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. MLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning and welcome to The Harvest. We are so glad you joined us today. We have a great show for you. We are in prayer that that today's show informs you, inspires you, and brings glory to our Lord. I'm Hans, and I'm seated next to my best friend, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. Oh my gosh. So for our Facebook friends that are watching, Hans is not even on.
I'm not on the shot.
He's not on the shot. He was the one you drew the short stick.
No. Well, you could say it that way, but I think we just got the prettier people in frame.
Absolutely. We have some beautiful souls in our studio today. We're going to introduce them in a little bit. But we do. We are in great prayer this morning as we approach this show in particular, that your hearts would be open to hear, your mind to understand, and your spirit absolutely to receive what we hopefully God, what we, and more importantly, what God has for you today. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us. We have a couple of announcements, some upcoming community events. We have a wonderful Healthy Aging Expo going on in Peachtree City at Peachtree City First Baptist, November 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock. We've got great vendors, health screenings, and we have a free lunch. But here's the caveat. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. So here it is. You have to RSVP. So you have to call at 888-979-8783 and let us know, and we will mark you down for a free lunch. And then also we've got another great event next week at Dunwoody United Methodist. November 6th, Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30, we have another kind of healthy aging, but healthy and wise retirement. We've got a whole panel coming in to talk about financial issues, insurance topics. We even have a doctor who's coming to talk about healthy aging when you are in retirement. So if you've not had great healthy habits, your work life, maybe in your retirement life, you can now have time and energy to implement some great healthy habits. So that is not necessary to RSVP. You can simply come to Dunwoody United Methodist next Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30. All this information can be found at seniorprovisions.com or to reach out to us.
Fantastic. Well, this is the part of the show where we talk about, you know, something timely, something informative, something personal. In absence of all of that, we're going to talk about nonsense, because today is an important day for my spouse, Amy. I thought that this calendar event happened several times this year, but apparently today is Cat Day.
It's National Cat Day.
Cat Day.
Christian's shaking his head. He's like,
so we could be talking about a lot of important, informative, and inspiring things, but for this 20 seconds, we're going to talk about cats.
So this morning I said, hey, did you know it was National Cat Day? And your comment was, again?
Yes.
Because it seems like National Cat Day every day at our house. But here's the thing, and I am lobbying? Is that the word, lobbying?
I don't know. This is so fraught with
I know. I'm lobbying for us to do a show on pet therapy.
Okay. I'm with you there. You got my attention.
I don't know what the rules are here at Salem Communications and the Fish down here in Buckhead Studios, but I might even lobby to bring some pets in, some cats in. So we'll see.
And that is a sign of the end of that discussion.
So that's the end of that.
We want to thank the American Parkinson's Association Georgia chapter for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a trusted partner for resources and support for families dealing with Parkinson's. If your loved one has been recently diagnosed or care at home has become too much to handle, please give us a call. We would love to help you. Our number is 888-979-8783. And thank you to the American Parkinson's Association Georgia chapter for their support of the Harvest Radio Show.
Well, now comes one of my favorite segments of our show, and that is the Spotlight Caregiver question. What do we have, Hans?
Our Spotlight Caregiver question comes to us from a caregiver right down here, right down the road in Buckhead. My mother has Alzheimer's and has good days and bad days. I have often heard that as the disease process gets worse, some folks start to wander. Will this happen to my mother, and what other behaviors can I really expect from this disease process?
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for writing into us. And we actually get that question a lot. And we've been blessed this year to take on the role of faith community educator with the Alzheimer's Association. With that role comes a lot of great information and resources that the Alzheimer's Association provides. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Wandering is often a behavior that is exhibited in folks with Alzheimer's and dementia, but it's not always exhibited. And I always say, know your loved one. If you had a mom who was always active, always busy, and it was hard for her to sit down. I have a mom like that. She's busy, busy, busy. And when she sits, she's done. You know, she's done for the day. So I can imagine that, you know, as her Alzheimer's is a disease of the brain, and it is a progressive and declining brain disorder. And so a lot of times we...
It tends to accentuate some of those characteristics that you naturally... are predisposed to.
Absolutely. And so she might be more inclined to wander or rummage. Rummage is another behavior sometimes that's exhibited. If your dad was just kind of a calm guy who could just sit down and watch a baseball game, he didn't have to be doing something at all times, he may never wander. And it might also be something medically related as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times with an infection within an individual with a bladder infection or bronchitis, sometimes that dementia will manifest itself in behavior that's a little unusual. So I would say, first and foremost, check with your physician and make sure that your mom is not dealing with any kind of secondary infection. And if she's safe, then there's some strategies as well, maybe even some day programming at an adult day program where they are safe and designed for that kind of activity and those mm-hmm. behaviors, and then comes home very tired and more at peace. And then finally, I would just encourage you to call the Alzheimer's helpline at 800-272-3900. So that's the Alzheimer's helpline at 800-272-3900. If you need any additional resources, you can either call us or you can call them. We can help get you kind of plugged in with a support group as well. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, now I want to follow up with one more thing too, because I think part of this is, and it's an aptly used phrase, if you've met one person with Alzheimer's, you've met one person with Alzheimer's. And the disease manifests itself uniquely for each person. There are some, you know, cues that you could look to in the natures of their character, their habits, their energy level that may be, again, exacerbated by the disease process. But I think what really is going to give you more support, our listener, our caller, into this topic is being a part of a care support group.
Absolutely.
That is specifically oriented towards Alzheimer's and dementia.
Ultimately,
so that she hears the story, she understands some of the challenges, and she gets some resources and support.
Ultimately, she's concerned about what's normal. What's right. normal? Well, what's normal is what's normal right now for your mom. And if it's a challenge associated with care, then, you know, let's address it, you know, one direction. Maybe it's environment, maybe it's medication, but wondering is not necessarily something that everyone does. So I hope that answers your question. And that was great. If you've met one person with Alzheimer's, you've met...
I can't be quoted. It's a good phrase.
It's a great phrase.
Bears a lot of wisdom.
Well, we have a tremendous show today with some special guests, and we're going to introduce them when we come back after break. But today, we're really going to be addressing preparing for end of life. We want to pull back the curtain. We want to talk frankly about lots of issues that are associated with end of life. And ultimately, we want to talk about what you can do to get peace about your end of life plan, if you have one or don't have one, and maybe empower you and at least challenge you today to think about this topic. So it's going to be good, I hope.
Well, we're going to talk about your medical health.
Medical health.
Your financial health. And your spiritual health.
That sounds like a really good show. So I hope you stay with us. And you've been listening to The Harvest Radio. For our podcast, you can always go to seniorprovisions.com. Click on the Harvest Radio tab. You can hear this episode once it airs, and you can hear many others about a lot of different senior care topics. Thank you for joining us.
Know someone who is living with Parkinson's disease? Every 9 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The American Parkinson Disease Association's Georgia chapter is here to help. Every day, they provide the support, education, and research that will help everyone impacted by Parkinson's disease live life to the fullest. For reliable information, local educational programs, and caring support groups, please visit apdaparkinson.org/Georgia or call 404-325-2020.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Every day I manage hundreds of employees and run a successful IT company, but when the doctor diagnosed Mom's Alzheimer's disease and told us she could no longer live alone, I was at a loss at what to do next. Our pastor recommended calling Senior Provisions. He said that they were a trusted resource and that they could help us find a community that met our current and future needs and fit our budget. Senior Provisions guided us through the whole transition. And now Mom loves her friends, feels safe, and we have peace of mind.
Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs. We will help you find trusted providers for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the help that you have been searching for. Call today and get the peace you need. 888-979-TRUE.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We are so glad you joined us today. We have a great show on a difficult topic. It's called end of life, and no one wants to talk about it, let alone plan for it. But hopefully before the end of today's show, we have caused you to consider a different perspective and inspire you to put some plans and wishes in place. We are joined in studio today by our dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, Dr. Lamar and Jean Holly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so very, very much, Hans and Amy. We're delighted to be here. And we appreciate your friendship so very, very much. You mean a great deal to us.
Well, feelings are very mutual. Miss Jean, say hello to everyone.
Hello.
That's awesome. That's exactly how I would have done it. That's wonderful. Well, and so I think you have more to say.
Yeah, I have more to introduce here. Dr. Lamar Hawley is a native of Annistown, Alabama, and a graduate of Jacksonville State University, New Orleans Seminary, and Columbia Seminary, where he earned his doctorate in ministry in 1988. He has served as senior pastor of Lawrenceville First Baptist for 10 years and is now a pastor emeritus since retirement. He and his wife, Jean, founded KidStuff USA organization to serve families and children who have special needs. Dr. Hawley is currently serving as chaplain at Wages and Sons Funeral Home. And Jean, besides a life of service and partnership in ministry, is a registered nurse and former director of the Congregational Ministry for Health and Wellness, now known as Faith Community Nursing, and she serves on the women's ministry at church, and they have three sons and many blessed with many grandchildren.
How many grandkids now?
Seven.
Oh, see, I told him, I said, your old bio had five, and I said, don't say five.
No, they keep coming.
Well, why don't, I want you to take this time, because it's not often that grandma and grandpa are on the radio and on Facebook, so why don't you take a minute and say their names and say hello to them.
Okay. Our oldest son is Greg, and he's married to Dee Dee, who, you know, like a lot of parents, we prayed for our daughter-in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg was first, and so you just pray more for your first child. It's the first time you've ever done any of this either.
Amen.
And so I've prayed for Christian wives for them. And Greg's wife's maiden name was Christian.
Oh, there you go. It's a very answered prayer.
The bad news is some of his friends says, but she isn't anymore, is she? But she is. And all three of my boys are married to wonderful Christian women. Our middle son, Jim, is married to Nelda. Greg and Dee Dee have three children. They have twin boys who just turned 18 this week.
Wow.
And a girl who is 13. Mm-hmm. My middle son, Jim, is married to Nelda, and they have two girls. The oldest is Lauren, who turns 18 in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And then her younger sister, who's 14. And then my youngest son, Bill, who I'll talk about just a little bit this morning, is married to Aaron. And they have two children. Their oldest is Tegan, and she's six, and their youngest is Finn, and he's two. So we're having to learn how to do the baby stuff all over again.
I'm so jealous. So jealous. I'm just sitting here with teenagers, but really look forward much further in the future, but look forward to those days.
And it all gets better.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really encouraging.
They tease me and my family about overpraying. And so I was praying for grandchildren before I was too old to pick them up. I was like, get on to this. And the children told me if I had been praying for a grandchild, it would have been much easier because I got three in 2 weeks.
Oh,
I passed all
goodness.
My friends at one time.
That is awesome. Well, I always want to kind of leave room for that. But also very important to our show is God's word as well. So if you all have, and I know you do, some verses that you would love to share that have meaning for you, would you mind sharing that, Dr. Hawley?
Yes. One of my favorite verses for a long, long time, from the time I was in college and went to a BSU revival.
Amen.
And had a great, great pastor to stand before us. And he spoke from Philippians 1:21. Paul's words, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul uses that concept of gain many times through his writings, especially there in Philippians. He said those things that he had thought were to his profit, he counted as nothing to have gained Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke of his contentment that he had found in Christ. And you move over into Timothy and you hear these words, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm.
So I think peace is very significant.
Mm.
Very, very significant. And that's one of the focuses of your programming right here.
Absolutely. Well, goodness. I just almost just want to give him the mic. Miss Jean, preach to us.
So my favorite scripture is Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I used to think hope was what I wished for. I just crossed my fingers and hoped good things would happen. But as I walked with our youngest son through cancer, I began praying for his healing. And God began to teach me that my hope was in knowing the love of God and his nature, not in results. He reminded me that he loved my son even more than I did, and that I could trust him with the outcome to know what was best. So I had peace. Even when the cancer recurred, I knew God had a good plan for my son, and that he had better knowledge of what that plan was than I did. And now, as I mentioned a minute ago, Bill is 15 years cancer-free. He's married and has two children that are true miracles of God. He's more blessed than I could have ever imagined. But the hope in the personality and the love of God gave me a peace and joy, even in the hardest days.
It takes me back to, who do you say I am?
Yes.
And it's just a profound, freeing understanding.
I love when Job said, you know, his wife said, when he had all those afflictions, curse, you know, man, curse this God. And he said, I will not curse God, because even if he doesn't heal me, even if he is still on his throne, he is still God. I love that. And we there are times we have to cling to that. I think it's a great transition to kind of talking about some of those things we're going to talk about end of life. But I want to back up a little bit and kind of address medical emergencies, unexpected diagnoses. And what is the best way? Jean, you're a nurse. You've been in lots of medical environments. What is some great important things for folks to think about as they might be encountering a medical emergency or an unexpected diagnosis?
I think the first thing you have to do is decide that it could happen to you. Most often, people think that they will worry about being sick when they're old. Or that they'll worry about medical crisis when they're old. But it can happen at any time. And you have to think about, what if all of a sudden you couldn't communicate for a length of time? Or a family member couldn't communicate for a length of time? In our family, we have roles. Different ones of us do different things. When we were first married, we fought over how each one should be done. And then we finally decided the best idea was just to divide, you know. And so there are things that I do that Lamar doesn't worry about. And there are things that Lamar does that I don't worry about. So you need to get all of your important paperwork in one place. We are getting ready, God's so blessed, to go on a cruise where we will not have any internet for 7 days.
Ooh, that sounds really lovely.
Well, it does, but then, you know, what about the bills that come in when you're gone? What about that, you know, you have to prepare. Well, what about those bills that come in when you're in the hospital and you can't tell anybody? And some of mine come in over my email, and some of them come in the mail, and some of them are automatic, and some I have to write checks for. And if I have all that information in one place, somebody could be me.
Well, Dr. Lamar, I know you can speak a little bit about some of those specific documents. We've got about 2 minutes before break. Why don't we start talking about some of those documents, and then we'll cover the rest of them on the other side.
Well, the thing that is very, very important is that a person have a last will and testament.
Yes.
Because you don't want the estate dividing up your assets for you. You need to take advantage of the opportunity that you have now to develop a last will and testament. At the time of a loss, there also must be things like birth certificate, marriage license, insurance policies, deeds, all of your banking information, checkbook, income tax records you need to have. it's important, too, even as you move into some age, and maybe at any age, that you have a living will. If you go to the hospital today, that's one of the first questions that they ask you is, do you have a living will? You need to consider whether or not you want to do a DNR, do not resuscitate. Jean has a little story that I'd like for her to step in now and tell about her mother.
Well, I want to hear that story. We're right up against break. And so what I will say is that advanced directives for healthcare, otherwise known as what everyone also knows as the living will, here in Georgia, you can print that off and you need two witnesses. You don't even need an attorney for that. That's probably one of the most important documents. So when we come back on the other side of break, we're going to continue to talk about end-of-life planning, how to prepare, and all the things that you need. Keep listening. We've got more nuts and bolts on the other side.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no
don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, cause baby, there ain't
Welcome back to The Harvest. I just got a cue right before starting, and I got a but, which is always very helpful when you're starting a new segment. So we're having a very practical discussion on end-of-life planning, and we want to walk down this road with you and talk about those things that we've learned in painful times, and we want you to be better prepared for. And I think before we left break, we were going to move on to a story from Jean relating to this topic of
documents
and
your mom
preparedness.
So my mom was 92 and had Alzheimer's and knew she had dementia, and she knew she didn't remember. And she would say to me all the time, Jean, it is so hard to not remember. You just can't imagine. I visited her with 2 days, and I went to the drugstore, and I came back, and she said, oh, Jean, I'm so glad you came down to visit. And I said, well, Mom, I've been here 2 days. And she said, I know you're right. I just can't remember anything. So we had talked about it, and she wanted to be a DNR. So we had been in the hospital with she had shingles of the brain, which was terrible, headaches, and just really having a difficult time. And we'd been transferred out to a place that you stay when you're not ready to go home, but you can't stay in the hospital any longer. And the social worker came in, and Mama is laying on the bed like she's not with us. And the social worker starts talking to me about a living will. If your mother can't be, you know, do you want her to be resuscitated, you know? And I said, oh, no, no. I said, Mama wants more than that. She wants a DNR. And the lady looked at me like I might be the worst daughter that has ever been in the world. And she said, you mean you would not want your mother resuscitated? You would not want us to try and bring her back? And my mother lifted up from the bed and said, absolutely not, and dropped back down. And so I got to say to the social worker, do you have any other questions?
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And, you know, all of those things to think about, the legal documents. I love what you said about getting all your documents in one location and making all of those decisions and talking through this with family before the crisis.
And so, let's repeat the big three.
Yes. So we have advanced directives for healthcare. So let me start with last will and testament. It's basically what happens to your stuff after you pass away. Advanced directives for healthcare is what happens to you and your person while you are incapacitated or going through a medical event. So it's before you pass away. And then finally, durable power of attorney, which also allows for a representative to handle your bills, your finances, your any real estate, and really represent you well. So all three of those documents need to be put in place. And we have great references to elder law attorneys out there. But I really wanted to kind of circle back and make sure we get to the nuts and bolts of funeral arrangements. And we have just a real quick personal story. Hans's mom passed away about a year and a half ago. And like many folks who don't want to talk about it, don't want to think about that day coming, for whatever reason, they really did not have arrangements made. And so after her passing, we had to walk through this big learning curve and support his dad while we were trying to figure out, you know, and unfortunately, we had some good experiences and bad experiences. So, Pastor, if you could share kind of some of the key parts of that funeral arrangement process and some information as a chaplain with a funeral home and just having walked through that journey with many, many individuals over the years, what can you suggest and give us a little insight into what is included?
I would say it's very important to move in that direction before that time of loss actually comes. Mm-hmm. After I had served as pastor at First Baptist Church and moved into retirement, I was at Wages and Sons Funeral Home. Actually, it was before I left the church. And I asked, having seen a sign about pre-need arrangements, I asked Jeffrey Wages, who does that for you? He said, I don't have anybody doing it for me now. Would you like to? I said, well, only if I could also wear the hat of chaplain. And so I began serving there in that capacity. And I really believe that pre-need arrangements is a wonderful thing. At least a person needs to visit a funeral home or some funeral homes and become comfortable with that. And I would say that's very, very important. Gene and I have made pre-need arrangements, and we wanted to talk with our children about that. Their spouses are not all that comfortable talking with that kind of thing, but we were talking with the boys, and Gene, you know, was saying we were going to be cremated, and we wanted the cremains to be placed in the ground. I think that's important that there is a place and that there is a service. So you need to have what I refer to, and in the funeral industry they refer to, as the talk of a lifetime. You can move in a gentle and slow way into talking seriously with your loved ones or friends that you have some responsibility for about what in life matters to them. Some of their earliest childhood memories maybe begin with a favorite game that they played or a favorite toy. You might ask them to share with you a memory of a good vacation time, and record all of those things. Maybe even after leaving their presence, you go back out and write down those things, because you'll need them as you begin to plan the service for them. What's planning a service about at the time of the loss? Well, the first thing that you want to do is to call the funeral home, call a funeral director. And I trust at that point you've become very comfortable with a funeral home and the management of that funeral home operation. You also are going to have to make decisions about whether there is going to be a full body burial, which will require a casket, or whether you're going to be cremated. And in that case, you'll want an urn, or you have to make decisions about where the ashes or the cremains would be scattered. You need to make a decision about what kind of service you want and where you want that service to be. A service can be in your church. It can be in the funeral home chapel. It could be at graveside, or it could be in your home, or maybe out somewhere in a place where you're going to scatter cremains. But I do think it's important that there be a service and that there be some kind of marker for historical purpose where that body is laid.
I was going to ask you real quick about cost. I want you to also kind of address a range, because after having walked through that, there's so many options. I kind of got, you know, we were on a smaller budget, and so I just basically said, we don't need to go to the back room. We don't need mahogany. We don't need, you know, we need some basics. So I do want you to also mention average cost for an average funeral.
Yes, and you hear, you know, prices that run the gamut. But I would say about the least expensively that a body burial could be done with charges through the funeral home would amount up into, you know, $1,600.
Oh, wow.
And that would be a low cost.
Okay.
You do hear people saying anywhere from $1,800 to $2,600.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have seen them really go way, way up in price. I mean, like $12,000, $14,000, $16,000 funerals. Mm-hmm.
I like what you say about going to visit, because when we went to visit, they asked us some questions, and we had the privilege of being able to sit with his mom. She already had told us what she wanted on her marker. So when they asked us that question, we knew. We there were some things that she had kind of already thought about. She wanted Inman to sing. She wanted our pastor Inman to sing. And she's not even a member of the church, and he obliged her and was beautiful. And she told him exactly what to sing, which was a Lutheran hymn. Mm-hmm. But she had thought through, which helped us with some of those little details. The bigger details, you know, were, it was a big learning curve. So going and just finding out what all the different options are. I mean, it's not going to be your best afternoon, but once you have those things chosen, I think, again, we talk about peace. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the best gifts that you all could have given your sons was, this is what we want. Because they want to be able to remember you and grieve you and not worry about whether they are honoring you with this decision or dishonoring you with a decision and spending money that maybe wasn't necessary to spend. Or maybe,
they're true.
Yeah, these are the things that are important to you.
And, you know, you're not only talking about the cost of the funeral home, you're talking about purchasing the casket, you're talking about the cost of cemetery space.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned cemetery space, let me mention that for veterans, there is the privilege of using Georgia National Veterans Cemetery up mm-hmm. outside of Canton. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, but you certainly need to have your discharge papers, your mm-hmm. DD-214. That'll create real problems if you can't lay your hand on that.
I've mm-hmm. been to some amazing funerals of veterans, and that is definitely worth some pre-planning. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap up our show on end-of-life planning, but we really have saved the best for the last segment. How can you be spiritually prepared? So I want you all, if you're listening, grab a friend to listen with you. The best is yet to come. Stay with us.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
Giving back to the communities where we live, work, and worship is something Thrivent Financial takes pride in. Strengthening communities and helping you be wise with money is a part of Thrivent's mission as a not-for-profit financial services organization. That's why Thrivent is proud to support The Harvest. Thrivent Financial helps Christians make financial choices that reflect their values, something they call the Wise with Money journey. Their financial professionals are real people who apply their faith, their passion, and expertise to help you be wise with money so you can live a more content, confident, and generous life. To learn more, contact your local financial professionals, Greg Bickhart, Jennifer Yankowski, Kelly Goldsmith, or Rodney Hill at 404-YOU-THRIVE. That's 404-884-7483. Or email them at thriventseniorsolutions@thrivent.com. Thrivent Financial. Be wise with money.
Every day I manage hundreds of employees and run a successful IT company, but when the doctor diagnosed Mom's Alzheimer's disease and told us she could no longer live alone, I was at a loss at what to do next. Our pastor recommended calling Senior Provisions
He said that they were a trusted resource and that they could help us find a community that met our current and future needs and fit our budget. Senior Provisions guided us through the whole transition. And now Mom loves her friends, feels safe, and we have peace of mind.
Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs. We will help you find trusted providers for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the help that you have been searching for. Call today and get the peace you need. 888-979-TRUE.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We are just having an amazing time with some amazing friends. We're so grateful for Dr. Lamar Holly and Gene Holly being guests on our show and helping us have this conversation about a very difficult topic, end of life. And we talked about, you know, kind of the practical legal ways of being prepared. And we talked about final arrangements and how, you know, there's the conversation of decisions that need to be made at the funeral home. And then there's also another group of decisions and arrangements that need to be made at a cemetery if you're doing a burial or memoriam or mausoleum or you name it, or scattering. So I think we've covered those, but we held the best for last.
I think,
and
we also want to get in a story.
When we talk on break, it's like, oh, well, we should have that on the show.
So let's tell the story real quick, Jean, Miss Jean,
about sharing your plans with your sons.
So we talked to each of our sons, and I told my youngest son, I said, I want to be sure that all three of you boys are comfortable with our plans because we don't want any disagreements around the time of our funeral. And my youngest son, who's an attorney, said to me, very seriously, Mom, the brothers and I are not going to be unhappy with anything you and Dad have already paid for.
That's the pragmatist.
The pragmatist in the family. I love that. Well, you teed it up a little bit, but we're going to really talk about spiritual preparedness. And I know as a pastor who has walked that grief journey with families, you can speak into that spiritual preparedness.
There are some people who seem to believe that they're never going to die. But we are going to die. At some point in time, life on this side of eternity is going to come to a close. I mentioned that favorite scripture of mine, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Old Dr. Belloc Davis, who always wore a blue serge suit, always looked to me a little bit like God. But as he spoke on that scripture to us in a BSU meeting, he said, now, folks, if you can't say, for to me to live is Christ, you'll not be able to say, for me to die is gain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we realize that. I had done two funeral services in the same family. I mean, they were siblings. They were found deceased at the same time from natural causes. One was the caregiver for the other, had walked in. They supposed found that her sister had died with cancer, and she who had a heart defect died there at the same time. Their brother could not even attend the service because he was in the hospital, very seriously ill. 8 days later, I was called on to do his service. Speaking with his young son shared with me that he had been spiritually concerned about his father. And so he visited the father in the hospital and actually led his father to receive Christ as his Savior. And the son was just rejoicing in that. I said, I'd love for you to share that in the service that we have for you, Dad. He said, oh, that would be great. I'd love to do that. But as I was driving to the funeral home the morning of his father's funeral, that young man called me and he said, Pastor, I hate to have to tell you this, but my stepmama says she don't want no preaching. She don't want no preaching. I said, well, I won't be heavy and harsh with my preaching, but, you know, I do like to share the gospel. He said, well, do whatever you have to do. And I was probably a little lighter than I usually am, but there had been two brother-in-laws to ask to share in that service. And both of those guys got up and they absolutely preached the gospel.
Amen.
What is the gospel? The gospel is that we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came into this world to die on the cross of Calvary. And through his death, we can be saved. It is not by anything that we can do. It's simply by the grace of God. Our works mean nothing. But the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who died for us on the cross, provides for us the way to prepare for not only what we have left in this life, but for life on the other side. I love the scripture from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, that says, "For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a home not built by human hands, eternal in the heavens." Folks, you need to open up your heart, open up your life to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. How do we follow that up?
We don't. We give our phone number and then they can come to church.
When Lamar came home and shared with me what had happened in that funeral, I couldn't resist telling him. I said, "Well, sweetheart, the wife tied your hands, but no one ties the hand of God. When he wants it preached, he gets it preached."
Absolutely.
Amy and Hans, let me mention also, years ago, there was an old guy in a small town near the church that I served. He was the town reprobate. I actually had talked with him on several occasions, but I visited with him in the hospital just 2 days before he died. I tried to share with him that day the love of Jesus, and he said, I've never wanted to talk about the Lord. I've never accepted him, and it would be wrong for me to do it now. I talked with him at length about how God loved him. We prayed together as he invited Jesus to come into his heart. About 4 days later, I was out at the cemetery, and I conducted that graveside service at the cemetery for a man who had gone on to be with Jesus. There's probably a lot of old guys around that town who knew him better than I did, who probably wondered, "What on earth is that pastor doing? He's out of his ever-loving mind." But he had gone to be with the Lord.
Well, and relating to that, I love that God wove into his story the story of the thief on the cross next to Christ.
Absolutely.
That shows that it is an instantaneous change of the heart and everlasting life through Jesus. So I think, I don't know where to go from here. But I'm just so grateful for this opportunity.
I do have a little story I want to share. My mother was at a family dinner with her husband's children and grandchildren, and they were talking about an aunt who had died and gone on to heaven. And then they were talking about somebody else who had died, gone on to heaven. So the little 6-year-old who'd been listening in church pretty heavily said, "Mom, who do we know that went to hell?" And we forget this is a two-sided story. This is the decision that has to be made, and you may not have time at the last minute.
Right.
You don't know where your mind will be at the last minute, so don't wait.
Absolutely.
Well, and also too, like, I love that we're having this conversation because there's two parties really in this situation. If you have the opportunity to reach out and visit with a person that is facing the end of life and is questioning eternity, that is fraught with an opportunity to visit with Christ with him. But also there's the people around him. They're being confronted with mortality as well. And I found, that many people have come to know Christ because of being faced with that mortality. Yep. Personally or from someone else.
Well, I think we need to wrap up here. I don't want to, but I'm obedient to the clock here. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. "Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we don't need to fear death. Be prepared, be encouraged. and be convicted as well. If we have spurred any question that you might have about senior care, end-of-life planning, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. And you can call us at 888-979-8783. We want to also thank Thrivent Financial for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. Thrivent is an incredible financial organization that helps Christians be wise with their money while living generously. Be generous and live wisely. Those are some great precepts. So you can contact them at 404-YOU-THRIVE. And if you would like to be featured on the show or a spotlight of your ministry, again, reach out to us. You can come contact us through our website at seniorprovisions.com. We're going to sign off with our foundational scripture, and can't think of a show that spoke into that more than today, and that is Philippians 4:19, that my God will provide for all of your needs here on earth and your future life, and we all have one. And he will do that through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I hope that we pointed you to him. And if you don't know him, we hope that you would like to get to know him. He's a great Savior. We love you, and we're going to pray for you this week. And we hope that you just have a blessed week.